Welcome to the Circle Sessions featuring the Circle of Experts. Each week, one of the Circle of Experts joins me to talk about critical aspects of growing your podcast. The Circle of Experts are Yasmin Robles and Izzy Dadosky from Rebel Marketing, Tanisha English-Amamu of TJE Communications, and Don the Idea Guy. I'm Brett Johnson, my podcast guy from Circle 270 Media Podcast Consultants. This week, Yasmin and Izzy are here. They work alongside clients to design a website that's driven by strategy, looks amazing, and that you can use to grow your podcast, and then in turn, your business as well. Yasmin and Izzy, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. We are following up on our idea that we had in one of our previous episodes about talking about planning for the future, you know, as we change into a new year. And you could do this at any point in time. It doesn't have to be at the natural beginning of a new year. It could be just a whole new quarter or something like that. But just looking at things of, dear year, I'm letting go of this, or dear this year, I'm going to keep doing this into the next. And some ideas of just letting go of stuff, or when we found something was really, really good, to keep moving forward. So I'm going to throw it at you, Yasmin. So whatever direction you want to go, letting go, or I found something great and I'm moving forward with it.
Yeah. So one of the items that I jotted down that I'm letting go of is, I mean, I put it as like the fixer in the business, but it's more about trying to let go of control. So most of the time I've been doing a better job, but most of the time I'm like, oh, I can do that. And then I'm tracking my hours and spending 60, 80 hours or whatever it is. Not even counting potty breaks. Right. So, it's because I love it. I love what I do. But now that Izzy is part of Rebel Marketing as a partner, understanding that I don't have to do it all and I don't have to excel at doing it all, I also can lean on someone to say, hey, what do you think about this? I don't know if Izzy agrees that that is a good idea, but letting go of control, at least with the business. I am still in control of our household.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. What do you think, Izzy?
About what she said? Or
You could do that, because it may lend into something you have to let go.
Okay.
or you have to grab onto and take it next year.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with what she said. I don't think it's like a negative thing, though, that she always wanted, because I'm the same way. I'm like a control freak and I want to know what's going on. So I don't think it's a negative thing. But also, if she's spending 80 hours a week, it's probably not the best for the business. But I mean, especially with like all small business owners, I think you run into this wall where it's like, oh, I'm doing all of this and I'm spending my weekends even doing this, and then you don't have free time and then you burn out. And burnout is not good for anybody. I mean, even when my Sims burn out on my Sims 4 game, they tell me that they might not have to go to work the next day. You know what I'm saying? So maybe we should take some lessons from the Sims 4. But yeah, and also just like with us getting busier and everything, I think it's good to break it up between us, because it's like, if Yasmin was in charge of every single project that we have, then I don't know how we would be surviving.
Right.
So yeah.
Right. Yeah. And you both talk about in that discussion right there of that of letting go of not having, of understanding, I guess I should say, when you bring someone on or you're outsourcing, that recognizing this is what the give and take of it is, that you have to let go, quit controlling. You hired, you brought someone in that you trust. Now let it happen. Let them make the mistakes as well too, and be patient with it. And it will, you'll gather your time back. So no, I agree. That makes sense. That makes sense. You know, this starts to creep into mine. I have to let this go. And I don't know why I get this ebb and flow of this comparing and contrasting myself when to other businesses. I think it happens because when I'm in social media more and more, I read too much into, and I got to remember, this is just a vanity post. This is a vanity post. This is a vanity post. Great, they're doing good stuff. Great, you're doing good stuff. And I have to let that go. And I've been fighting that ever since I started the business 10, 11 years ago. I think we all do. But for me, it's ebb and flow. It's not a constant, thank goodness. But I've just caught myself recently going, yeah, I see somebody post there. Yeah, well, what am I doing with my life? And it's so easy to fall into that. That's one of three that I caught myself thinking about when we were talking about this episode one. Yeah, I'm doing a lot of FOMO. And I guess it's that realization of I'm doing okay. I got a lot of great people around me. I'm doing a lot of great stuff. Quit comparing, quit doing that. So I think that's a lesson that we all can learn. I know it's not unique to me, but I've been catching myself into that a lot. And obviously I've been doing this for 10 years and you still fall in that trap. It's not like a early stage solopreneur thing. It's or an entrepreneur thing. It's constant. It's just constant. Yeah. Any other on the list, letting it go, Yasmin, we'll just go around the horn. I know we talked about we may have two or three.
Well, not necessarily on letting go ahead.
I was going to say, well, mine kind of relates to what you just said, Brett. My first one that I wrote down is negativity, because I personally feel like I am a negative Nancy towards a lot of things.
No.
I know, it's crazy. Nobody can get that from me.
I just don't see it.
Yeah, so I think my journey of 2026 is to manifest and gaslight myself into becoming a more positive person, because if I'm able to create a positive atmosphere around me, I feel like that will make myself more positive. Because typically I try to look at, if somebody presents something with me, I'm like, what's wrong with this though? Or it kind of goes into the control thing that Yasmin talked about too, where it's just, I'm afraid of failing in some sort of way. So I think I just need to let that all go and focus on the positives versus what I think could go wrong.
Yeah. So do you think, it's just getting a little bit psychoanalysis, but it's one of those that they always talk about, surround yourself mm-hmm. with the type of people that you want to be surrounded. You want to be like, let's put it that way. Do you think that's a change for next year for you? Or is it just, it's just that mental, I got to gaslight myself. I've got tons of great people. Why am I keep doing this?
It's that because I surround myself with very positive people. Mm-hmm. I think I'm the negative one out of everybody.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah.
It's just working on that mindset, because I think it's just once you get down that deep hole of just beating yourself up, mm-hmm. you need to fix that a little bit, because it's I'm not doing anything wrong at the end of the day, but I constantly mm-hmm. question if I am. So.
Yeah. 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 We're our worst critic. Honestly, we just are. We get in our own heads. And if anybody would tell us that stuff outwardly, we would say, no, I'm not. But if mm-hmm. we tell ourselves, oh, yeah, we are.
I always told my parents in high school, nobody can bully me, because I probably said something 10 times worse to myself.
Yeah. Yasmin.
I agree. That's something that's very hard to let go. I thought I was a negative Nancy, so I don't know if this is a competition or not. Just shifting the language, maybe, I guess, for myself in that negative, viewing things negatively, it's trying to see what can I do during this time frame. So in business, there's always going to be slow times. So what can we do during the slow time to prepare us? Mm-hmm. Or what did we learn? Trying to see it as not necessarily a failure, but hey, maybe we attempted, I don't know, in marketing, maybe you attempted some kind of ad campaign and you spent money on it and it didn't turn out the way you wanted it to. Well, that really sucks, because you might have put money into it and time, but what can you, did you gain any knowledge about it? What was in the gap, trying to decipher or tear apart that thing instead of just kind of dwelling in the negativity of it. But it's hard, because it's just it's also shifting your language. So it's instead of I have to do this, it's, oh, I get to do this. It doesn't mm-hmm. make you feel that much better. I get to do a budget. I get to look at finances. Yeah. But at least it starts to seep through and give you at least a little bit of gratitude mm-hmm. while you're working on something that might feel dull.
Yeah. I guess I don't follow enough people that give the examples of the journey, like you talked about. Okay, not every ad campaign, to your point of the ad campaign, not every ad campaign is going to knock it out of the park every time you do it, but we only see the ad campaigns that actually work and are talked about. And I wonder if it's one of those, we should put it out in the universe, more of our failures. Not to be gloating about it. He's like, I failed again. You know, I mean, we don't want that type of aura around us, because who wants to do business with somebody that continues to fail? But I think if you couch it with, yep, didn't work, and this is what we learned from it, and this is what we're not going to do again, all of a sudden it's lesson learned, lesson taught to whoever's watching, listening, that sort of thing. That's something I should consider too. It's just, I think you can show your failures, but it doesn't have to be that you were just stupid in what you did. It's one of those, oh, we took a chance and yeah, we're reading the tea leaves the way they were, but it didn't work. Mm-hmm. But we do know why, you know, we analyze, yeah, that sort of thing. I keep, you can couch it in that growth moment. I like that. That's not, yeah, a bad thing either. Yeah.
You did the best you could with the information that you had at that, yeah, moment. And that's right. Just like, that's life. Yeah. That, and being in marketing, I can tell you that there's a lot of businesses out there that it's all smoke and mirrors, and it's marketing, and their back end, their finances might be a hot mess. Like, things will be bad. Like, the only person that could probably tell you the real story is their accountants.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, you got to keep that in mind, that it might look amazing on LinkedIn or whatever social platform. Mm-hmm. They might have thousands of followers, but is that really bringing them money? Or is that even, like, are they still working 80 hours, 60 mm-hmm. hours, 50 hours, whatever it is? Yeah. Or while maybe you feel like you're being left out, you might feel some FOMO, or you might feel like you're losing a little bit of that control by delegating, but now you get some time back. So mm-hmm. there's a balance. And again, it's all marketing.
Yeah, right. Exactly. There are going to be some failures with it. It can't be a home run every time. It had to move the needle at some point, unless you did something really, really horrible and it just put you out of business. It had to move the needle in some fashion, maybe just not to what your goals were, and that's the adjustment. Yeah. Another one that I have got to let go is when the opportunity doesn't happen, I reflect too long on it. Mm-hmm. And it's not really to the point of what did I do wrong, but it's maybe what did I miss? What, you know, where else are they going with this? Why didn't I necessarily get it? Am I missing something that I should have offered? Or did I not ask enough questions during that mm-hmm. first meeting sort of thing? I don't spend days on this, but it is a time waster when I can just, it goes spinning in my head for a day. And yeah. and again, it's not to the detriment of me not getting new business, but it's like, but why am I spending so much time on this? So what if someone else offers something a little bit different, or they clicked, or maybe the opportunity never did happen? I don't know. I don't know the end of this discussion of who they actually contracted with. They may, the project may not have even happened. They realize we can't do this, you know, sort of thing. Or it went internal, and you can't fight that at all. I mean, if it didn't go to someone else, and I don't want to call it a competitor per se, but it's one of those, they decide to go inside, which happens to you guys, I'm sure, a lot too. It's like, mm-hmm. we don't have to work with them. We can do this. You know, like, and mm-hmm. I always think back in my mind, it's like, I'll hear from them again in 6 months when it doesn't happen right, you know, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Or they'll call, but not to come, oh, groveling, like, oh, we should have listened to you. It's not that. It's that, yeah, you said something about that, and we remembered, and we want to talk again. mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I agree with that. It's in business. Yeah, sometimes they do come back 6 months later. Sometimes they have nothing to do with your proposal. Sometimes. Yeah. It just wasn't the right fit. I think, though, we should celebrate, even maybe once I can drink again. Maybe Izzy and I can celebrate, like, the proposals that didn't make it, right? I mean, we have a system on our end. We try to ask why. Was it pricing? Was it that they just went with, they preferred the vibe of a different person? But ideally, we would celebrate that, or at least acknowledge it somehow, maybe take a shot of tequila or mm-hmm. something, like, hey, Izzy, we got another no. That's fine. Let's do a shot. And then we'll jump back in.
Right. Yeah. Izzy, your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, like, take a shot. Why not?
Why not? Exactly. That's just the theme. Take a shot. Why not? Exactly.
Like, with, you know, if we do get a no, sometimes it's also just like, the company changed their priorities on them too. Mm-hmm. And so then we sit there and for a while I would always be like, well, why would they do that? Blah, blah, blah. It's like, maybe they just don't have the funds right now. And also the person that we were probably talking to wanted it the most. And then something happened internally where they were decided to go against it. And yeah, sometimes they do circle back after that and realize like, oh, it was a mistake that we didn't do marketing for the company. Mm-hmm. But it's like, also it's out of your hands. So there's nothing you can do. And I think that's also, again, with the negativity thing, it's you just got to let it go and move on from it, because I'm not going to sit there and dwell on it anymore, because it makes me a negative person at the end of the day. So
right, right. Yeah. And I think when we have that time to be negative, when business is a little bit slower, or even just those, if it's a day between, you know, you have one off day that you've actually dedicated to yourself, but your mind goes the wrong direction during that day. I think the busier we are, the less likely that is going to happen. Yeah, I agree. I agree. Anything else on your list, Izzy, that we talked a little bit differently here?
Yeah. So it can be letting go or carrying into. Mm-hmm. It can go either way. But I'm done overcomplicating everything. I am now going, I'm carrying into 2026 the KISS method. Keep it simple, stupid. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my dad used to say that to me as a kid. And it's really just been ringing in my mind recently, where I'm just like, anytime I'm overthinking something, where it's like, planning strategy or doing this, I'm always like, but is that actually the right thing? But it is. Yeah. Sometimes the simple answer is just the answer, and you need to stop dwelling on what you thought it could have been. So, and even just like internally, if we're like looking through stuff and we constantly are back and forth and over reading and over complicating stuff sometimes, and we just need to keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah, Yasmin, what's your thought on that? I love that though. That's good.
I agree. And it's for me, that's extremely hard. I don't know if it's shiny object syndrome or whatever, but I like that Izzy brings that to Rebel Marketing, because if I'm overcomplicating something, she can then push back and say, hey, remember when we said that we were going to keep it simple? So don't be stupid. So that's, I think that's another great example of like the partnership, because I tend to overcomplicate things and then run around. And then after like 5 hours of overcomplicating a spreadsheet, I'm like, oh, I could have just kept it really simple. And then Izzy cuts through that and immediately is like, let's not add all this in. Let's just do the one thing and do it right.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah.
I also feel like just like with us and like a bunch of other people, it's, and Yasmin always talks about doing this at the beginning of like starting this business, but like going to every single event on God's green earth and, you know, trying to mm-hmm. network, because that's what, I mean, you're told to do. You have to go network to get these clients and stuff. But I mean, we've had months where like we didn't go and do things too much because like, one, I moved this year, and then two, it's like Yasmin's pregnant, so we're not going to as many events anymore. Mm-hmm. But we used to think like we would have to constantly keep our schedule booked up all the time. But it's like, that's not, one, that's a lot of money to mm-hmm. go to all these events. Two, it's sometimes you walk out and you don't get anything from it. Like in the, I know that sounds negative in some sort of way, but it's just like, you're typically going there to try to find clients or get somebody to refer you to somebody else or learn something, like if it's a luncheon and somebody's speaking from it. So it's like, if it doesn't align with like what we're trying to do, it's just like, why are we going to it, and scrap it, because it's wasting our time that we could be doing stuff internally. So.
Yeah. And it doesn't allow you to follow up even on the good events.
Yeah.
To really cultivate those relationships where you have to give it some time. And if you're booked every day or 3 days a week doing that, then you really don't have the quality follow-up time.
Yep.
To all those people. That's a good point. No, it's a good point. And, or as you stated too, you go to a conference and you went through a couple of really great sessions. Well, you got to give yourself time to really absorb and implement that, whether it's on a personal or a business mm-hmm. level. Yeah. Your comment about the shiny object, I have that on the list, Yasmin, and I have to stop. It's just, it's a shiny object / FOMO / oh, this can make my life easier. And it's one of those, it never does necessarily. I've got all the software I need, you know, to a certain degree. Now, there was something else that popped up today that looked really good, but it's different. But I got to think about this in regards to video podcasts and such. And it's like, I love the concept behind it going, okay, take a step back, Brett. Think about the application. Is it worth the dollars for a specific client that does a lot of video podcasting? And is that something that they would be interested in pursuing and putting some dollars into? It's that, don't jump in, just pull back, let it settle, let it settle. I've got one more thing that you mentioned, Izzy, and somebody brought this up to me a couple of weeks ago on a one-on-one meeting I had about me, but it's to celebrate the little moments. Celebrate that. And I've got to bring that into the next year. He's because he even commented, he says, hey, when you have good stuff happen, what do? And I said, move on. He says, you need to take your wife out. You need to go celebrate the good stuff, a great week, whatever, because you're going to train your brain to acknowledge that this is good stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, you're right. You know, and I just have gotten out of the habit of it. We get so accustomed to the little wins that at the beginning were just, oh my God, we got them, you know, and now it's not that it's normal, but we don't celebrate it as much as we used to because it's just part of doing business. And we've got to go back to that. Yes, this is a win. This is a good thing because we're both in the same situation, or both our companies. It's usually when we bring on somebody new, that's a long-term contract, a long-term relationship. And we should be real happy with that, real happy with that, and celebrating it. That's a really good point. That's one thing I am going to bring along with me into the new year. I got to do it. I don't know what it's going to look like, but it's always on the paper.
Take a shot.
Yeah, take a shot. If nothing else, take a shot. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. I know there was I think it was a co-working space or something. They had a bell, and every time somebody won a client or whatever it was, they would go and ring the bell to let people know. That might get a little annoying, but depending on who's in the space and what meeting they're in. But even once a week, just kind of like metaphorically or physically or actually ringing a bell and celebrating that you want a client, or maybe you only work 30 hours this week and that's a big win for you. So,
yeah. Well, and I've always been terrible at journaling. I want to, and I really give good effort to it. It just never, I just don't do it. And I think that would be really wise of me to do because I could, if nothing else, column what I learned today, the wins, what I need to do better, even if it's simple as that, and just kind of look at it over a year's time going back going, hey, I did. I stopped doing that. You know, analyze. It's almost the time suck scenario you talked about of logging your hours, what you're doing, which I've tried to and I've never been able to get that accomplished either. But it's that try to map out the good, the bad, and what you learn. So you have something to review. I think it'd be interesting to see what you ingested, what you subconsciously continue to get better at. Yeah, if you write it down. So yeah. Anything else, Izzy?
Those are my two, my big two, because I feel like it just goes with everything, really.
No. Anything else you asked me?
My last one was carrying into 2026, leaning into our unapologetic brand voice. So early this year, we were Robles Designs. We rebranded to Rebel Marketing. And just even that name change, we didn't even change really color. We changed the logo a little bit to fit, but it wasn't a drastic change, but just that change opened up, I don't know, Izzy, what do you think? Like, it opened up a new voice.
Yeah.
So like some of our branding, some of our items say marketing, I think it says marketing with a backbone. Mm-hmm. Or it'll say really cool things. So people, it's becoming really memorable. And also I don't feel like it's just a one person thing. So it used to be Robles Designs. That was my last name. Can they pronounce it? Who knows? And like, it's unique enough where like, we don't have to feel like we need to wear a suit, right? We're not that kind of agency. We don't have to, if we want to, we can wear heels. We don't have to, because we're Rebel Marketing. So like, we're going to be able to break that mold versus all of the other companies. And I don't know, just opened up a whole new brand voice.
That's cool. I love that. you're giving me incentive to what I plan on doing with my business. That's I love that. Because I outside looking in, I would assume you had been already moving into it, but you know what you aren't doing. So, you know, that's outside looking in. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. And that's a really good, that's a good lesson in that even if you're not changing your branding, are you, listener, really pushing into what you have built?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do it next year. Really figure that out. Who are you? What's the brand say? And if you've been kind of sitting on the sideline, not pushing it, why are you not pushing it? Really, you know, you spent all that money with a website, with the branding, working with a team like Rebel Marketing or, you know, my podcast guy. Why aren't you working it? Yeah, mm-hmm. That's a great way to end it. Honestly, I love that. That's a great way to end it. It's super. Let's go ahead and let's end with some calls to action. And, if a listener's been, pushed to think about, well, I'm going to let this go or whatever, and want to contact you and say, I agree, but I need your help doing this. How can they get a hold of you too?
You can go on myrebelmarketing.com or find either Yasmin or I on LinkedIn. We frequent that social media platform. We're also on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, all those good places. But yeah, myrebelmarketing.com is where you can reach out to us.
Yeah. And if you're looking for some marketing homework, because, you know, you don't have enough on your plate already, you can go to myrebelmarketing.com/checklist and download the workbook. It comes with automated email. You're going to get video links that walk you through the workbook and will help you almost like an audit, a DIY audit of your marketing.
Super. Yeah. And get a hold of me. Go to mypodcastguy.com. If you're letting go of the guilt of not starting a podcast this year and you want to start next year, that's a great place to start, is let that guilt go. It's never too late to start. mypodcastguy.com. Thank you both for joining me again on Circle Sessions.
Thank you.